Well, I appreciate it, Josh. Yeah, you know what? I was raised in a Christian home. I am a fourth generational preacher. So my dad's a Baptist preacher. My grandmother was a Pentecostal licensed ordained minister. My great grandfather, Henry Fields, actually was an evangelist in Eastern Kentucky, Eastern Tennessee, West Virginia on horseback. Okay. He went to Azusa Street during the 1906 revival.
Wow.
So this is how far that the anointing's being transferred down in our family history. So I'm not, I wasn't a heathen, I wasn't a hellion, you know. Of course, my brother and sisters may differ with that opinion, but you know, overall, just raised in a Christian home, and I really appreciate my parents for what they did. I gave my life to Christ at the age of 10. I mean, what have you done wrong at 10? But you know, that's when Jesus really spoke to me, and I went forward at a church service on a Sunday night, and I knelt at the altar, and I cried, and I gave Jesus my heart. And I've been with him ever since, and he's never left me. At the age of 22, I was called into the ministry to preach the gospel. And I can tell you, I didn't want to do it because I was a PK. I know what it's like to be a preacher's kid. And I was like, God, anything but preaching, anything. I'll scrub the toilets, mow the grass, shake the hands at the door, whatever, but no, I don't want to get into ministry. But I did. I just married my high school sweetheart, Heidi. We've been married now 33 years, going on 34 years. We have three sons, and they're married to their three wives, and I have six grandchildren, and it's just been a great ride. It really has been a wonderful life. And so I get into the ministry. I'm preaching the word. I'm working in a factory. I'm, you know, traveling the world, selling product for the company and running the factory at a certain point in time and all that, 21 years of that, while pastoring and evangelizing. And then finally, the company closes where I was working. I put out 500 resumes. I don't get one interview, which I'm shocked. I can't figure out, well, why? I'm definitely qualified. I get so frustrated that I go down to Walmart and apply to be a greeter. Just anything. My wife's a registered nurse. She was running a nursing home, doing very well. And they said, no, you don't fit our, what we need. Okay, God, what is up with this? You know what I'm saying? Are you serious? This is my first ever. Are you serious? So,
the very first one.
That's the first one, John. It was not on any of my cups or anything. All right, just are you serious? So I pray. I said, God, what do you want me to do? You know, just what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to go on YouTube, get a cup of coffee and go on YouTube. That was the exact words I get from the Lord.
Wow.
I didn't know what YouTube was, Josh. So, you know, I get on the internet, and I wasn't savvy with the internet too much. I find YouTube, and there's people jumping off buildings and painting their faces green. And I said, this is insane. This is insane. What do you want me to do on this? And the Lord said, I want you to start talking about current world events and how they relate to Bible prophecy. And really, nobody was really doing that, I'll be honest with you, 6 years ago. And so I started doing it. Just every day, I would turn on the camera and talk about what was going on in the world events and how it related to the times we're in, how the times were right in the Bible. Literally, events were happening. And I started doing that, and then, you know what? It just exploded when the first 5,000 blackbirds fell out of the sky in BB, Arkansas. I did a video called Dead Birds, Dead Fish, Dead Cows. And the next day, Time Magazine featured it.
Wow.
And from that, and up until then, I wasn't getting 100 views a day. Okay. The next day, 50,000 views.
Wow.
And it was from that point on then that, you know, it just started growing like crazy. And we just keep doing what we do. So God's blessed us. We've seen many people come to Jesus Christ on the air live, in conferences and things we hold, and now through television. So it's just, God's just, it's been miraculous. And we love what we do because we love Jesus and we love sharing the good news of Christ.
What exactly is Planet X, and what first made you interested in it?
Well, you know, Josh, the first thing when I heard of Planet X several years before this, okay, and thought, well, it's a theory, okay? It's a theory. Maybe there's something out there. And I never tied it really never even seen it tied to biblical prophecy, not when I first heard of Planet X. But then after studying the Bible, especially really intensely as it relates to biblical prophecy, and in the book of, first of all, in Matthew 24, you get a list of apocalyptic events that Jesus says is going to happen in the last days, when he was asked specifically the question, what is the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And you can go down that whole chapter, and it's unbelievable. And much, I mean, most of it, lots of it is happening now. Some still hasn't, but lots of it is, okay? But when you talk about Planet X, you begin to realize in the book of Revelation, in the 8th chapter, when it starts talking about these seals breaking, the 7th seal is very fascinating because it says there's going to be specific events that will happen to this planet that something has to cause it to happen. Now, Jesus said in Luke 21, he said in verse 25, he said, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts fail them for fear of things coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. All right, just, and I stop right there and say, wait a minute, something's coming upon the earth, and it says men's hearts would fail them. They would die of a heart attack because what they know is coming, and it shakes the heavens. And then if you go to Revelation in the 8th chapter, you'll find that it talks about in the 8th verse, so it's Revelation 8:8, and I'll just read a couple verses. It says, the second angel sounded as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. The third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. This is a catastrophic event. Something hits the ocean and creates a tsunami so big that it wipes out a third of the ships in the ocean and a third of the marine life, and it's catastrophic. And then it says, a great star falls from heaven, burning like a lamp. It fell on the third part of the rivers and fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters become wormwood or bitter. Many men die of the waters because they're made bitter or poisonous. Or let's just say radiation. Anytime a meteorite or an asteroid or something comes from the heaven and hits the earth, it brings with it a ton of radiation, which would make waters polluted and you couldn't drink it. So you have two deep impacts. There's two deep impacts coming on the earth, according to Revelation 8, that have to happen. So what causes it? What could shake the heavens, send asteroids or comets crash into the earth, creating a catastrophic, cataclysmic, apocalyptic event? And then you look at the destroyer, Planet X is sometimes called, you know, Nibiru or the destroyer, you know. And now we're hearing NASA say that something is pulling on the probe around Saturn, pulling on all the planets, the moons of the planets, pulling on something hidden, something somewhere is pulling. It's a gravitational pull. And we see earthquakes and volcanic eruptions last year. We broke the record for most earthquakes over 6.0 last year, and we broke the record for most volcanic eruptions last year, and we're blowing the world away with sinkholes, and we've never even heard of such a thing. And so something's happening, okay? And something's causing it to happen, but it actually, Jesus said it in Luke 21, and the Bible prophesies it in Revelation 8. So that's where I'm seeing that a Planet X doesn't have to hit us. It's just what it does in the effect is what I truly believe is causing and is going to cause major events on the earth in its Bible prophecy.
Yeah, the more I personally hear about different theories and things about Planet X, the more that I'm becoming convinced too. Actually, we in the studio we just had Richard Shaw not too long ago, who deals with Torah codes and things like that, and he brought out some really interesting stuff about Planet X too. And I know a gentleman by the name of Doug Elwell has written a book on Planet X, and so there's a lot of really interesting theories, but there's even some differing opinions concerning Planet X. Based on your research, what's the most convincing evidence that you've come across to support the idea of a type of destroyer planet.
All right. Well, you know, as far as the evidence is concerned, we have a couple things. Number one, NASA first said they spotted it in 1984, and there's a Washington Post article that even reports this. Yet, and they formed what I believe to be what's called a Nibiru project. Now, this is a secret or some type of a hidden classified government project. There's a gentleman that's contacted me, actually, who is very ill and dying. I spoke to him just about 6 weeks ago, the first time he contacted me. He gave me his full name and even his location where he lives, and says, if you want to come and visit me in my hospital bed laying here in my home, please do it. But I can't die. And he worked for the federal government 32 years and was a part of the Nibiru project. And he said, I cannot die without getting this information to somebody. Of course, he's not supposed to tell who he is. He's not supposed to share this information he shares with me. And I won't share all of it, or I won't reveal his name now. But I can tell you, he says to me, Nibiru is real. We've known about it for a long, long time. The Vatican has spent billions of dollars with their Lucifer telescope and NASA with the Hubble and with other observatories around the world. And we know what it is. We know when it's coming. We know its effect on the Earth. We're just worried it's going to be a lot more catastrophic than we originally thought. So I'm listening to him. I've also talked to several other people who have contacted me who are currently working for the – he's retired and sick. But others are still employed by the federal government, different agencies. And that, of course, they just say, look, keep preaching what you're preaching. We don't even know how you get your – we don't know where you get your revelation from the Bible. But you don't have a clue what's going on, but you're saying what's going on. So keep doing it, okay? We're begging you, please. It's getting closer to what anyone thinks.